Praise the Lord. Be seated. Be seated. Thank you. Just a couple of things before we start. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. It's a little early, but I'll be preaching on Christmas for probably the next 2 or 3 weeks. So just two things. Thursday night service, Christmas Eve service is 6 o'clock, if anybody's interested in that, 6 o'clock. And we're resuming Bible study on Wednesday. And, you know, so just keep that in your watch pocket. I keep these glasses in my watch pocket here, right? The other thing we want to mention, we're living in a world right now of social distancing, right? But I'm going to tell you something. Christ is not social distance from his people. And so that's important. I know right now the holidays are going to be a little rough for people. Maybe they can't be with the people they love or want to be, and that's not going to be easy. But it's a good lesson, I think, for us to just contemplate that this world is really small compared to who God is. We serve a big God, and he's sovereign over this universe, and nothing's outside of his purview, and we just know that whatever's happening, he knows it's for a reason. And praise the Lord. And he's going to get glory no matter what. Right, Devon? Let's stand. Let's open up in prayer. Dear Sovereign Lord, we are so thankful and grateful for your sovereignty over this universe. We're so thankful, Lord, that no matter what, you are with us. Emmanuel, you are with us. So we, Lord, as we open up our kind of Christmas season, so to speak, obviously, to give you glory and honor, for you are the true King. You are the King of creation and the King of redemption. And not only that, Lord, you're the King of exaltation. And so, Lord, we lift you up today, not looking at ourselves, but looking at you, not looking at the things of the world, but looking at you, knowing, Lord, that you are King, sovereign, and glorious. So we thank you, Lord, for that that night in Bethlehem when you came to be with your people, Emmanuel. God is with us. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Praise the Lord. Welcome again. I'm back. If you guys haven't read, I don't even want to know the answer to this, but if you guys have not read your Bible in a day or two, which I'm praying you have, we're going to read a lot of scriptures before we get to our sermon today. So, with no further ado, I am going to start in 1 Samuel, and then I am going to go right to Luke 2. So, I am going to start in the 17th division, 17th verse, and I'm going to read through 51. So, we got a little reading to do. Just buckle up, and I want to start in 17:17. And I'm going to be reading to 51, and then I'm going to go right to Luke chapter 2, 1 through 20. So, a lot of reading, just contemplate, think about what we're talking about, try to line up some things, try to connect some things. I'll try to give you some hints, and then Judy, you'll be quizzed before I preach. Then Jesse said to David, his son, take now for your brothers an ephah of this roasted grain and these 10 loaves and run, important word, run to the camp to your brothers. Bring also these 10 cuts of cheese to the commander of their 1,000 and look into the welfare of your brothers and bring back news of them. For Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. So David arose early in the morning and left the flock with a keeper and took the supplies and went as Jesse had commanded, Jesse's his father, and he came to the circle of the camp while the army was going out in battle array, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines drew up in battle array, army against army. Then David left his baggage in care of the baggage keeper, and here it is again, ran to the battle line and entered in order to greet his brothers. As he was talking with them, behold, a champion, the Philistine from Gath, named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines, and he spoke these same words, and David heard them. When all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him, and they were greatly afraid. The men of Israel says, have you seen this man who's coming up? Surely he's coming to defy Israel, and it will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. Free from what? From paying taxes, right? Keep that in your watch pocket too. Then David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God? The people answered him in accord with this one saying, thus it will be done for the man who kills him. Now Eliab, his older brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger burned against David, and he said, why have you come down, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your insolence and your wickedness of your heart, for you've come down in order to see the battle. Just for a second, we know Eliab was passed over to be king for David, so you know he's got a little problem himself. Verse 29, but David said, what have I done now? Was it not a question? Then he turned away from him to another and said the same thing, and the people answered the same thing as before. When the words which David spoke were heard, they told him to Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistine. Then Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion and a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went out after him and attacked him, and rescued it from his mouth. And when he arose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and may the Lord be with you. Then Saul clothed David with his garments and put a bronze helmet on his head, and he clothed him with armor. David girded his sword over his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. So David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. And David took them off. Verse 40, he took his stick in his hand and chose for him five smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had even in his pouch, and his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Then the Philistine came on and approached David with the shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy, with a handsome appearance. The Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods, little g. Then the Philistine also said to David, come to me, I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beast of the field. Then David said to the Philistines, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. I will strike you down, remove your head from you, and I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. And that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you unto our hands. Then it happened when the Philistine rose and came and drew to meet David, that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag, took out it from a stone and slung it, and struck the Philistine on his forehead. And the stone sank in his forehead so that he fell to his face to the ground. Two more verses. Thus David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in David's hand. Then David ran over, stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, and they fled. Praise the Lord, right? Go to Luke 2. Let's see a couple of things. We'll just kind of line this up if we can. Ben did a great lesson on these same verses this morning in Bible study. I'll wait for the pages to stop. Now, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census should be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And this census has to do with taxes. They went up to pay taxes, right? So we read in the other account that the taxes would have been withheld. Just a couple of things. And everyone was on his way, verse 3, to register for the census, each of his own city. Now Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger, or right then a feeding trough, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same reason, there were what? Shepherds, just like David, staying out in the field and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you I like this. For you, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, give glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. 15. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made. So they came in a hurry. Remember David running quick in a hurry, and found their way to Mary and Joseph and their baby as he was laying in a manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about the child, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told by the shepherds. And Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back glorying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just had been told them. This is the reading of God's word. It's a long reading, but I want to try to line up this text. Here's what I want to talk about this morning. The shepherd warrior, the shepherd worshipers, and then the wonderful shepherd. Let me say that again. Like that, Miss Judy? The shepherd warrior, the shepherd worshipers, and then the wonderful shepherd. Now, David the shepherd was not going on a mission to be a hero. He was going on a mission to be a what? A servant, bringing his brothers food. You know, you think about servanthood, and you think about who is the ultimate suffering servant. Remember Paul, speaking about Christ, depicts having this attitude in yourselves, Mr. Vaughn, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, right, did not regard equality with God a thing to be asserted. Right, we know that from Philippians. So even though in the previous chapter, Glinda, David was what? He was crowned king, the future king of Israel. But David does not assert his privilege because he's a man after God's own heart. I mean, the king of the universe coming down to be a servant. David, just anointed king, is going to bring his brothers bread. Right? So just kind of line this all up. We want to see how the Bible is one story. Right? As Gordon explains, this is reminiscent of the Joseph story. Remember Joseph, when he went to check on his brothers? And that encounter, like this one, will lead to an unforeseen encounter with destiny for which David has no idea. Now, I want you to think about that. Let me insert this. Think about the shepherds out in the field on a cold night, caring for their sheep, as we've just read. The angel of the Lord sends them on an unforeseen encounter with destiny, and like in David, they hurried to their mission. You know, we think about this Christmas season, and you know, obviously a little different this year, but Christmas is always a time of hurrying. You want to do gifts and shop and whatever it is, and it's, like I said, it's a little different this year, but Amazon is happy. I know Amazon is happy this year, because they're getting a lot of calls and a lot of orders. But the thing is, notice what these things do, Judy. They rush into the things of God. They rush into the things of God. And I want to challenge us, me first. Are we rushing into the things of God? Are we running like David did to the battle, or like the shepherds did to worship? And that's a question. The angel of the Lord sends him on an unforeseen encounter. Now, in fact, in verse 20 through 24, the first thing we notice is before David goes on his mission, he makes sure that his sheep are taken care of. He makes sure that his sheep are taken care of. The Bible says we are like sheep, and I'm going to mention later we've all gone what? Astray. And I'm going to mention that at the end of the sermon just to tie it in. But we are like sheep who've all went astray. But we have a chief shepherd. We have a chief shepherd that we are going to look at later. And my question... You still got me, Gene? All right. How's that? When David arrives in verse 23, he arrives just at the right moment. As Samira depicts, David hears the challenge of Goliath, showing God is orchestrating his plan and purpose, as Israel, verse 24, was frightened. This is not a story about defeating giants in your life. You've heard these David and Goliath stories, and this is about defeating giants in your life. This is a God story. It's a providential plan about bringing salvation to his people, just like the shepherds in our Christmas story. God is bringing salvation to his people by way of the birth of Christ, and the shepherds are a witness to this. A couple of things I want to mention here, King Saul is looking to hire someone to take care of his problems, right? By making them tax exempt for their duties, and also marrying into royalty. David replies in verse 26, the audacity of this Philistine to taunt the armies of the living God. And then we see the ridicule of David's older brother. Now, why did David's older brother ridicule him? Do you remember? He was passed over as king. Remember Eliab, who's this tall, dark, handsome dude, right? He got passed over as king. And here David comes down to help his own brothers. And he's being ridiculed by the one that was passed over as king. Do we know somebody else that was ridiculed in the New Testament? Who was the king, but was ridiculed? Carolyn? Jesus Christ. So you see, we want to try to line this up as best as we can here. So, like I says, Ralph Davis tells us this. This is the first time that David actually speaks in the Bible. And the first thing he says, God is alive and he's with us. Emmanuel. This is the first time that that David speaks in God's word. And last week, we spoke about the first time that David was named. Remember? He had no name and he was named. And this is the first time he speaks. Again, like the shepherds who would encounter the living God in Christ and in seeing him in a feeding trough would realize that God had visited his people, Emmanuel. Verses 37 through 35, David does not want to use the armor that Saul gives him, but instead expresses faith in God who has delivered him from wild animals while protecting his sheep. You know, David didn't feel comfortable in those garments. He felt comfortable. He was a shepherd. And that's exactly what he was going to do. He was going to use the tools that he was used to using. And that was obviously a sling and a stone. I want to fast forward 1,000 years later. We know that shepherds were entrusted with the message of the Messiah, and they would go and witness the Christ child. In 41 through 47, David is taunted by Goliath. He taunts David because of his self-proclaimed ability. But David depicts that the battle is not mine. The battle is of the Lord. You know, we know what's going on in the world right now. And we are obviously on the verge of, you know, getting a vaccine is out and things like this. But let me tell you something. This world is temporal. Devon, this world is temporal. And whatever is happening in this world, if you're a Christian, the battle, Melva, does not belong to you. The battle belongs to the Lord. And man, that's got to give us comfort, especially in this day and age, that the battle belongs to the Lord. Rachel, number two, the battle does not belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. And when that's what David proclaimed, and a lot of times, don't charge me on this, we want to do things on our own strength. We want to, you know, build our own castles and our own kind of monarchs or statues. We have to be careful because the battle belongs to the Lord. And when David went out there to fight, he went out there saying, this is not my battle. This is the Lord's battle. And if you're having any issues in your life, It is not your battle. It's the Lord's battle. What a comfort, Devon. What a comfort. And this is exactly what we see here. David is taunted by Goliath. He taunts David because of his self-proclaimed ability. See, the world today operates in self-proclaimed ability. That's how the world operates. But David operates that he is a servant of the living God. That's the difference. And that's who we got to realize, that we are the people of God. And this is what David realizes here, that listen, this is not my battle. This is not my battle. It's God's battle. And the Bible says what? We don't fight against flesh and blood, but spiritual forces in high places. So we want to think about those things as we move towards our Christmas story here. Now in verses 48 through 51, the Hebrew is really explicit here. Samara depicts the difference between, now think about this, because remember the Hebrew language is descriptive. You got the slow-moving Goliath against the swift-moving David. David ran, he stood, he took, he drew, he killed, and he cut. Again, the battle belongs to the Lord. Let me give you an interlude now, if I may. I'm gonna fast forward about 1,000 years later. I'm going to give you an interlude of what's going on here. When the 12 tribes of Israel migrated to Egypt, they encountered a lifestyle foreign to them. Egyptians were farmers and Israelites were what? They were shepherds, right? In fact, the Egyptians, being farmers, despised shepherding because sheep and goats meant death to crops, right? So the shepherds were deemed outcast in that society. Battles between farmers and shepherds, we know, as are old as what? Cain and Abel. So we want to look at the background of what's going on here when we get to our New Testament text, which I read. But there's something here that we want to see that's much more that we might think to be a Christmas story. We remember farmer Cain murdered shepherd Abel, right? Now, in Christ's day, shepherds. Now, let's talk about shepherds. Ben spoke about them in the Bible study. Shepherds stood at the bottom rung of the Palestine social order. They shared the same unpopular status as tax collectors and garbage collectors. But we know, listen to this, God uses the foolishness of the world to confound the wise. I want us to take a sharp focus on the shepherds this evening and their role in salvation history. 400 years would have passed. Now think about this. 400 years would have passed, and the promised Messiah by the Old Testament prophets seemed like a vapor in the wind. I mean, 400 years have passed, right? And there's nothing about the Messiah, but God's word would prove sure as always. Let me say this. Listen, I'm going to give you some encouragement tonight. I want to give you some encouragement. This God that we serve, he operates, listen to this, Harry, in the undercurrents of history. He acts covertly. He acts covertly. He, as we know, operated in the belly of a fish. Did he not? Didn't he operate in the belly of a fish? Right? The hidden providence of God happen while the world operates believing they are in control. But God is the one pulling the strings to bring about his purposes. Just think about this. These are shepherds. These are the low. Let me tell you something. If you committed a murder in front of a shepherd, you can get away with it. Their testimony was not even good in court. This is how low the shepherds were. But God is operating through shepherds, right? Through people, the undercurrents of history, that the world thinks that they're in control, but they are not in control. I'm telling you, coronavirus, whatever it is, God is in control of all this, and he's working in the under, Miss Ashley, in the undercurrents of history. And he still works today. Everything that we see in this world is being brought about to bring his purpose, for him to come back. Everything. Nothing's outside his purview. And this is what he does. Now, let me say this. If you committed a crime in the first century, shepherds could not even testify. You'd get away with the offense. I was wondering when I was reading that, you know, where my mind goes. I was saying, man, where were they when I got arrested? Right? I mean, I wouldn't have gotten in trouble, right? Because he really, because, you know, they can't testify. They couldn't testify in a court of law. They were the dregs of society, right? In other words, the man or the woman on the street in the time of Christ, in whatever definition you want to define shepherds, they were despised just like who? Just like David, just like Jesus. They were despised. They were despised. Listen, this is why we have to be good thinkers. We have to be good readers. If you were inventing a Bible story, you would never use shepherds. Never. That's how you know this is real. You would never use shepherds, couldn't even be a witness in court, but they were witness to the Messiah. Think about that. They couldn't even get up in a courtroom and God says, I'm going to use the lowly of the world to witness to my birth. Ron, think about that. This is who God uses. Sheep, shepherds, the low of society. So I want you to, man, if you are a child of God, you are a child, Jen, you are a child of a king. You're a child of a king. And man, I know this world looks topsy-turvy and things like that, but man, I want to tell you, Devon, your father is a king. I mean, this is what the Christmas season is about. Man, I spoke to Carolyn yesterday, and Carolyn said, Pastor, I want to come to church. I need to be encouraged. Miss Carolyn, you are a daughter of a king. And this is what this is about, and we know. Look at David being a king, coming down and for his people and going to defeat a giant. You know what Christ has defeated, right? Sin, right? Sin. Man, I just think about these things that we're speaking about here. Hear this. There is no better gift than this. There's no better gift. After seeing the angels, they were in great fear. After hearing of the proclamation, they were told of great joy. And you know, listen, Christmas is a time of what? It's a time of gifts, right? It is. And putting things in perspective, worldly gifts, they're enjoyable. I love getting gifts. Rachel, you got me a lot of gifts. I like getting gifts. But they're temporal. This gift here is eternal. This is the gift of salvation. This is the gift that keeps on giving. How's that? You knew I was going to say it, right, Carolyn? Right? It's a gift that keeps on giving. And this is what I want to say is, yes, we love this Christmas season. But at the end of the day, and I was thinking about this the other day. And I think about this a lot. I tell Rachel, she's probably tired of me hearing it. We lived in, before coronavirus, we lived in an impersonal world. Anyway, right? Texting, email, you know, dating online and all that. And I'm not putting that, sometimes that's good and whatever. But think about this now that we have to be impersonal. We don't want to be impersonal because we're being told what to do. But listen, you know what Emmanuel, Ashley, you know what Emmanuel means? God is with us. You can't, if you're a Christian, you can't be social distance from God. And this is what I mentioned in my opening. So here we look at the shepherds, the lowly of society, going and give you the message of a king. But God's gift, like I says, is eternal in Christ Jesus. In fact, because of what Christ done in our behalf, we receive redemption. We are now reconciled to God because what does the prophet Isaiah say? A child is born, a son is given. Right? Let me make a theological point, if I may. And we need to know this. There's a difference between shepherds and angels. What's the difference? Think about that. There's a difference between shepherds and angels. Angels do not get a second chance. They don't get a second chance. There's angels right now, fallen angels, locked up in Tartarus, waiting to be thrown into the lake of fire. Listen, I want you to think about this. We've all, and that's my thing, we've all like sheep Nikki and gone astray, right? But I want you to think about this. How many chances have you gotten in this life, man? Think about that. Think about if God treated us like the angels. We'd have been finished, unless nobody's a sinner, right? But think about us, all the chances God has given us. And still, listen, maybe there's someone here saying, man, you know, people say, well, I got too much sin in my life. I can't come to God. He's too holy. Listen, God used the shepherds. And you know what? Tony, he can use you. He can use me. He can use Ben. The dregs of society. Listen, Christ said himself that he put off to put on in Philippians. And so I want us to be encouraged tonight that God will use his people. See, angels cannot receive redemption. Fallen angels can never again have reconciliation with God. They will be separate from God forever. But these shepherds, these outcasts of society, were entrusted with the salvation story. Listen, we are entrusted with the salvation story. We're entrusted. It's our duty to bring the good news. It's our duty. And when I look at the shepherds, I look at who they're caring for. Sheep. Sheep. And listen, I'm going to tell you a little bit about sheep in a second, what they do. But here's the point I want to make. These shepherds, outcasts of society, were entrusted with the salvation story. They not only worship, as we mentioned at the outset, but they witness. They witness grace and truth. This morning someone here is in need of grace and truth. You might think you're unworthy. You know what? You are. You are unworthy. So am I. Me first. But he's worthy. He's worthy. We are unworthy, but he's worthy. And that's what salvation is about. That's what salvation is about. Christ died for the unworthy by way of the cross. He becomes worthy for his people by grace. Think about some of the people. Think about some of the people that God used. Daniel, a man exiled out of his own country, was given the prophetic message concerning Christ, a message of hope concerning a kingdom that would have no end. Daniel, right? He was what? A prisoner of war. What about Esther? Esther, a nominal Jew, marrying a heathen king and confronting that same king while genocide was decreed against the Jews. But God used Esther as she pleaded on her people's behalf and showing the king how he was duped. So then God spared the Jews for a larger purpose. So what? So the line of Christ can be preserved. Right? What about Ruth? Right? The Moabitess. Moabitess, right? An outcast, a widow from Moab, traveling to Judah by way of God's providence to fulfill God's word, to keep the line of David alive in Christ. Look at the people God has used. He's used the outcast of society. Me first, you second, Judy. Because really, listen, if you don't have Christ, or let me say it better, if Christ don't have you, then you're really an outcast of society. And that's the difference. Because the world looks at us as, oh, look at them Christians. And let me tell you something. God will not forget his people. He will not forget the people that he redeemed by his own death. And Ron, sometimes, me first, we don't think about this enough. First of all, we got nothing coming. Dick, we got nothing coming. Think about this God who would come down off the throne, right? For sheep that have gone astray. To be what? The true shepherd. The true shepherd. And I'm going to get to him, to our Lord in a second. But what about Joseph, sold into slavery? God used him to preserve a people for himself. And Rahab, a prostitute, God used to secure a land in the genealogy of Christ. Listen, there is no... Just think about the people that God has saved and used for his story. He doesn't use King Herod. He uses magi, astrologers coming in. He uses shepherds. Mary and Joseph, the people that he uses. And we got something to tell. We got something to say. The question is, are we saying it? Are we telling people? And that's the whole message, obviously, here, that the shepherds had something to say once they seen the Christ child. What about David, as we mentioned, the shepherd boy, despised by his own brothers, but loved by God, whom God made king over Israel, a man after God's own heart. But nothing changes but the zip code. God uses the lowly shepherds. He uses the foolishness of the world to confound the wise. Carolyn, like you, I need to be encouraged. This has been a tough time for all of us. Nobody's downplaying what's happening. This is a real live situation that we're in. But God is over it. God is over all this, Judy. You know, Judy's been through some stuff, but you know what, Judy? God is sovereign and God loves you. And he cares. He's a shepherd. But he's the true shepherd. He's the king shepherd, right? So we looked at what? We must realize in this Christmas service that Christ is the chief shepherd, the wonderful shepherd. Right? So we have the wonderful shepherd now who lays down his life for his sheep, and that's the gospel. Christ is the stone that the builders rejected, and now he's become the chief cornerstone. This was marvelous in the Lord's eyes, right? The Bible depicts that while you were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. While you were a sinner. That's the Christmas story. That's the Christmas message. Is while you were a sinner, what better message than that, Devon? While you were yet sinner, Christ died for you. Remember, the angels don't get a second chance. Ashley, we'd be in trouble if we didn't get no second chances. Nikki, right? Jean? But we serve a God of second chances. Rachel, right? The shepherds were the dregs of society. Listen, I'll say it to me first. I was a dreg of society, man. A lot of years in prison. A dreg of society. And God just took me. I mean, after 15 years in prison, just took me. Who would ever believe that? Who would ever believe shepherds testifying of the king of the universe, and they couldn't even testify in court. And I just want to encourage people today in this season where maybe we can't be with all our family members. Maybe it's going to be, you know, social distancing or whatever they're telling us to do. Christ, Emmanuel, is with you. Tonight we've spoken about Jesus coming into the world by way of divine birth. We also saw the worship that was attributed to him and him alone, namely by glorifying and praising God by the shepherds. What's mankind's greatest problem? It isn't COVID. What's the greatest problem that mankind has? Sin. And Jesus came to solve Jesus came to solve that problem. Because all sinners, All unrepentant sinners, let me say it like that, will go to hell. And we that's where we want to search our own heart now. Because, Dan, you know tomorrow's not promised. We want to search our own heart now, right this second. Where are we at in this thing? This is serious stuff. And I think here that when we look at this Christmas story, we look at this story about Christ coming into the world, he came into the world to what? To die for his people. Every single sin will receive the wrath of God. The only question is, who will take that wrath? Will you experience the wrath of God for your sin, or has Jesus taken that wrath for you? That's the question. Listen, I always do this around Christmas time because I have to remind myself first. All of us deserve hell. All of us. Rachel, me first, you second. And I can say that's my wife. All of us deserve hell. And all of us are going to, all of us deserve wrath. That's the question. Are you going to get the wrath that you deserve? Or are you going to acknowledge the wrath that was taken for you on that cross? That's the message of Christmas. Listen, I love the gifts. I know, you know, Ron told me, I think, would you buy Carolyn a Mercedes? What was it? Would you say it was? 2016. Yeah. Dick, you got the old pastor 69 cat? I'm only kidding. The gift of salvation is a free gift that God offers to his people, man. That's the story of Christmas. That's the message. And the thing is, and you know what? You go to church and you preach Christmas, you don't hear nothing about hell. Hell's a real place. And hell is a place that people are going to go that are unrepentant sinners. But there's good news, Glinda. There's good news in this story. That's the thing. There's good news. Jesus paid the price for everyone who repents and believes. So I encourage all of you who have not repented to repent. Now, what is true repentance? Turning away from your sin and controlling your life and instead turning to Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Here's what shepherds did. I want you to, this is how I want to end this. I want to give you an analogy. When shepherds ran away, when sheep ran away from their shepherds, what they would do is they would actually lie down in a field because they just didn't know no better. And they were wanderers, and they just lied there with nowhere to go. This is who we are without Christ. Just lying there with no way to go until their shepherd finds them. That's what they do. They are dumb. Sheep are dumb, like me. They go out and they just lay down, Tony, and they wait for their shepherd to come and find them. That's a Dominic story. That's a Cecilia story. We are all like sheep lying down with nowhere to go, nowhere home. That's what sheep do. But the shepherd comes and finds his sheep. He leaves the 99, right? And he goes and finds his sheep wallowing in sin and the muck and mire of this world, and he takes him up and raises him as his own. That's the chief shepherd. Shepherd warrior, David. Shepherd witnesses, the shepherds. But the true, marvelous, and wonderful shepherd goes out and looks for his sheep and finds them. either will die and lay in our sin or be raised with Christ eternally. That's the question to all of us, to all of us. When I look at the shepherds, I don't look at the shepherds, I look at the sheep. And all of us are like sheep. And what, Miss Carolyn? Gone astray. Let us stand. Dear Lord, Holy Father, Sacred Christ, Living Christ, True Shepherd, the Shepherd of our souls, You're a good God, Lord, a God we do not deserve. Lord, I pray that someone here tonight, this morning, this afternoon, I pray that God the Holy Spirit would allow them to search their hearts. Where are they really at in this thing? There's too much at stake. We know tomorrow is not promised for any one of us. Lord, we pray that You would open up the hearts of people who are just superficially here, just in body but not in spirit. But we know that You are sovereign, we know that You are King, and we know that through God the Holy Spirit, You can open up hearts. You can open up hearts for people to see. For You are God and God alone, and no one is outside Your purview. Please, Lord, we pray for people to search their hearts, search their minds by the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Mark Hamish, Ashley.
Jesus Christ, our Savior, was born on Christmas Day.